been so long, I've forgotten how to do it, Michael.
Are you serious? That was embarrassing. That's the worst intro I have ever come across.
All right.
Do you want to try it again, Matt? You ready?
Will.
3, 2, 1. On you go.
This is a great intro, this. My wife bought ground coffee, and we don't have a cafetiere. We use a machine that grinds it, so I don't have any coffee either. Let's talk about first world problems, that, innit? Anyway, let's get on
You've
with it,
changed.
Shall we? Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast with me, a very sleepy Matthew Lewis, and apparently a very perky Michael Bridges. We've both been away for some time. What have you been up to?
We certainly have. What have I been up to? I've been playing golf again, mate. I've been getting into the swing of it after a horrendous winter and watching absolutely loads of football, my friend. And I've got to say, probably one of the best games I have ever witnessed at Elland Road with the atmosphere. You missed out.
So I heard. I mean, I watched it. I was able to catch the game. I've been in Kuwait, Bridgie. That's where I've been. I've been in the Gulf, the Arabian Gulf, as they call it. And I was able to watch the Leicester game with a couple of friends, Yusuf and Faisal, who invited me. They have a thing called a Duania, where they host sort of friends and family and stuff. And they had me there to watch the Leeds game. They put the game on for me with the English commentary. And there was food, there was drink, and they all were cheering louder. And I'll tell you one thing real quickly, actually, about the game, is that Yusuf, who was looking after me the whole time I was in Kuwait, he prayed. He said that he prayed for a Leeds win from on my behalf. And he's told me that in the Middle East, well, in Kuwait, because it never rains, it's the desert. He said, if it rains, it means that God has heard your prayer and it will come true. And no word of a lie, when we left the hotel to go to the Duania for the game, it started raining in Kuwait. And I am, you know, hey, make of that whatever you will. I'm not a believer myself, but Leeds United ran out 3-1 winners. So there we go.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. It's not the performance of the lads. It's thank you to yourself and your mates out in Kuwait for doing that for us.
Hey, I just do
lovely
my bit,
story,
mate. I'm just doing my bit.
Things happen for a reason. So, yeah, it would have been, but you would have watched a classic. And I heard that you went out there, apart from obviously getting the Leeds win, I did hear that you didn't do much work, to be fair, mate. Is that right?
No, mate. It was quite relaxed, let's say. Everyone was just there to have a nice time. I really enjoyed it. We're going to have one of the heroes, actually, from Friday night on in a moment. Just before we get onto that, I just want to mention, because it's not Archie Gray. Sorry, guys. We'll get him on again soon, but it's someone else. Archie's goal for the, you know, his first goal off the back of everything that's happened in recent weeks at Elland Road. To score, obviously, I guess it is the winner. We can still call it the winner.
Yes.
What a moment. What a moment with Eddie in the stands.
It was. It was. I mean, the whole family have been through a terrible few weeks with the sad loss of Stuart. And, you know, Archie seems to get better and better with every game. And he's been asked to play another position. And he went to left back and he rode his luck and he went forward. And he thought, you know what it is? I'm going to try my luck here. And when he shot might have been going off target, it got a deflection, went in the back of the net. Nobody cares. Everybody's giving it to Archie Gray. And like you say, it was just a massive moment for him. Another little tick off on his to-do list while he's a Leeds United player. And what I loved about him after the game, got the opportunity to interview him, and he said the DNA of this family and what it means to everybody that I know what this club means. And he said his favourite part afterwards was singing the song while he was walking around Elland Road with everybody. I think as the fans stayed behind for about 10 minutes after the game, it was absolutely mental.
I know, full limbs.
Archie Gray, just a special, special player that is maturing on the field and off the field with every game he plays, mate. And we are so lucky that we've been able to tie him down to a longer contract to keep the vultures away, shall we say, for hopefully another few seasons and maximise his ability.
If any rival fans are listening, he's overrated, he's rubbish. we're just probably going to let him rot in the under-21s. well, okay, so I'm excited for this one, Bridgie, so I'm not going to waste any more time. Shall we get on the man that ignited that comeback on Friday night? He's a really, really interesting guy, full of full of insight, and I'm looking forward to picking his brains a bit about Friday and his career. So should we get him on?
Yes, let's do it. I'm excited about this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome one of the many heroes from Friday night. It's the Leeds new boy, Connor Roberts. How are you, mate?
All good, boss. Yeah, settled in nicely. Been here obviously a few weeks now, and a brilliant night to kind of introduce myself on Friday and come off the bench a couple of times. So looking forward to the next, 12, 13, 14 games, whatever's left.
Connor, I've got to say, mate, the atmosphere, I've been at a lot of games as an ex-player. I've played at Elland Road in front of some massive European nights. The atmosphere, when not so much when obviously you came on, but after you got the goal and after the lads went on that thing, the I predict a riots music, the atmosphere. Did you expect anything like that?
I think when you're in the game, you don't realise quite how good it was. Speaking to my wife afterwards, she's obviously been to watch me numerous times in, you know, for playing for different clubs, playing for my country and stuff like that. And she said that it was the best atmosphere that she's experienced. And I think the ball, I think after, I can't remember if it was after I scored or after Archie scored, ball went out for a throw-in, and obviously like I was running to get the ball, and like I did for like a split second just have a little just like moment where I just think this is really loud, like it's going f***ing off here. And obviously after the game was brilliant as well. And as footballers, as fans, as you know, supporters as of any sport, you want to be involved in nights like that. And I'm sure that every Leeds fan that was there and watched on TV maybe will remember that night as a special one in years to come, hopefully.
I've no doubt about that. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talking about the evening and saying it's potentially the best experience they've had at Elland Road, if not in a long, long time. Some of them even saying ever, genuinely.
Yeah.
You've talked about in interviews and stuff that you you fancied Leeds. You quite liked the idea of playing at Leeds even earlier in your career. I think when you came with Middlesbrough, you got a sense of it. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, 100%. I think when you achieve things or you win games, score goals, you know, whatever it may be at a club the size of Leeds with, you know, the passionate fans that they've got and the amount of fans they've got, I think it kind of amplified. Everything's even better, you know. Like I've scored goals, and, you know, it's stupid to say, but, you know, you post a photo on social media at my previous clubs, and obviously it's brilliant. You get all the fans saying what they say and thanking you for scoring or whatever. But then, you know, I do it for Leeds, and, you know, it kind of blows up, and it's the most likes or whatever that you've ever had. And it just kind of puts in perspective how many fans Leeds have got. And yeah, it's a bit mental, to be honest.
Me and Matt have had a laugh in the past, because whenever there's a Leeds United player up for player of the month or there's a manager award going out, the EFL must hate it, because there's that many, obviously, Leeds fans on the social media. Whoever gets nominated always seems to win it. So it's you've found out in the way that I found out being a Leeds player that it's just unbelievable.
I think obviously you say I've always fancied Leeds, and to be fair, when you play football and you experience, you know, the atmospheres and the passionate fans, you want to play for the fans, whatever club you play for, and Leeds have got a lot of fans, therefore I did fancy playing for a lot of fans and just trying to represent them as best I can on the pitch. You know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the best player that's ever going to play for Leeds, but I can promise them that, you know, every time I wear the shirt and I get on the pitch, I'll try my very, very best. And some days I might be absolutely useless, but, you know, I'll try.
I mean, Bridgie will be able to tell you this more than anyone, that that's what Leeds fans want more than anything. You know, they want to see that everyone who's going out there is going to die for the shirt. And that was something I wanted to ask as well, is because as well as you saying you like the idea of Leeds, you felt that Leeds might like the idea of you. There's something about your personality, about the way you play, you felt that you might fit in at the club. Is that a hard tackle?
Yeah.
Is that
I think, to be honest, I actually seen, obviously I somehow seen a tweet because one of my friends liked it, or he sent it to me, I can't remember. It was something along the lines of, Connor Roberts doesn't know whether he wants to start a scrap or something else. And it was like, yeah, that's me, to be honest. I just want to get out there and wear my heart on my sleeve and do as best I can. And if that's trying to fight the whole team, then I'm trying to fight the whole team. But you have to try and bring your personality to every team you play for, every club you play for, every moment that you're involved in. And for me, I think coming to a club like Leeds, the more special moments that I can achieve between now and the end of the season. Obviously, it's just a law now. The more of them I can achieve, the better, really.
Well, you've ticked the two boxes that Leeds fans want because you're a talented footballer. But if you want to fight the world, and David Batty, I played alongside me, he fought the world and he won every tackle he had. So yeah. He won the Leeds fans over. Did Daniel Farke's style of play as well? Obviously, when you were with Vincent Kompany and coming through and what you did last season, yeah. The Championship was phenomenal. Daniel Farke's style of play, did that tick a lot of your boxes as well?
I think so. Obviously, they're having a fantastic season. So when the chance came around to come here, it was something that I really wanted to do. Speaking to the other Welsh lads, it was a case of, you know, he's a very good manager. He knows exactly what he wants. And I think it's pretty evident this season what the manager wants, and hopefully we can kind of keep doing what he says between now and the end of the season, and then we get promoted and everyone's happy. But I can't speak highly enough of Vincent at Burnley last year. We were incredible, to be fair. Like, sometimes I have to take a step back and, you know, appreciate how good of a team we were last year. And hopefully I can bring my experience from then and the moments that I was involved in to the remaining, you know, half a season that I'm going to be here. And yeah, at the end of the day, if I play all the games, half the games, only a few games, it doesn't really bother me. I want to be stood on Elland Road with, you know, being able to say that I've got promoted with Leeds. So that's the plan.
The decision to come to Leeds, obviously you had the... as you've already mentioned, the Welsh lad's already here, but a January move, it's often not easy for a lot of players. You know, in the middle of a season, you've already got a close-knit group, and these lads do really seem very close and a great camaraderie. How was that fitting in?
To be honest, for me, I think it's been a very difficult season from last season, playing pretty much every game, doing really well, and I thought that I'd be given a chance to kind of show my worth in the Premier League, you know, play a few more games than I have, and I haven't been able to do that for whatever reason. But coming here, I knew it wasn't going to be a case of coming in, playing every single game. At the end of the day, Leeds United, you know, at the top of the Championship, trying to get promoted, and they've kind of got a settled team. They've got players who've been playing really well in that position. Obviously, Archie's been doing fantastic, especially since I came in. And I think I've said to many people, I'm big enough, old enough, experienced enough now to know that I can't just be expected to come in, play every single game, especially when you come to a big club like Leeds, who's fighting for promotion. You have to be patient, maybe play when you do play, but when you do, you have to give absolutely everything. And hopefully, like you say, come the end of the season, I can be able to turn around and say I helped, whether that be scoring a few more goals, whether that be playing a lot more games or a few more games. I can't really say, and I can't put my finger on exactly how it's going to go, but at the end of the day, like I say, I want to be able to say I got promoted again and I helped out.
Well, there's no better way to knock the manager's door down by saying, hey, listen, give us 5 minutes, I'll score your goal in the most important game of the season. What was the celebration like? Think... You had like a 5 second window and you went mental, and then you just switched back into game mode and said, get the ball back, lads, quick, we've got a game to win.
Yeah, I think that, touching on my experience, obviously it was equalising goal. It wasn't, if I'd have scored Archie's goal, maybe it would have been a completely different. Obviously, I just did like a bit of a subdued celebration because I knew it was just a equalising goal, as much as the fans loved it.
Oh, and I love
it,
you giving the big gladiator.
Yeah, I know. I done that, to be fair. I scored for Burnley, my first goal for Burnley. I done exactly the same. And yeah, it's just, I think, unless it's like a, you know, second half winning goal where you think like that could be the winning goal, I kind of keep it under wraps a little bit. So it was a bit of a subdued one. But then, yeah, touching on, I just ran back and I was like, with the momentum that's behind us, obviously just scored, I kind of thought in my head, touching on last season, there was numerous times where we were drawing and we'd get a goal and then obviously win the game, or we'd be behind and we'd somehow pull it back and win or get points from it. And I think for me, it was a case of, we are where we are in the league. A win is better than anything. So we've got the momentum behind us. The fans obviously buzzing now. We've just scored, you know, let's go again kind of thing. And we've just made a few subs, you know, DJ come on, I come on, and it's like a bit of impetus, let's try and score again, and lucky for us, and good job we did.
What's that like when you're on the bench and you're watching the game from the dugout and you can see it's not going well, you know, you can see that Leicester are on top of us, we're struggling to find passes, like are you just itching to get on at that point? You're just like, I can change this.
I'm not sure. I imagine for attacking players, a lot of the time it is. For me, it's a little bit different. Obviously, I'm a defender. So when I go on, it's a case of like trying to get the people around me to play better, or to like create a moment, whether that be a tackle, a quick free kick, you know, just a moment where you go on the overlap and you get a nice ball in or whatever, just something that kind of lifts everyone and things right. like, you know, we've still got a chance. We're still in this game. And obviously a goal is the best, so it was brilliant to get that, just get myself in that area and manage to score. But yeah, when I was going on, it was a case of like, let's just try and kind of raise the energy that little bit more. Obviously DJ come on just before and he was, you know, lighting it up a little bit, you know, making forward runs, being direct and getting the crowd up a little bit, shall we say. And yeah, luckily for me, a goal helped towards, you know, winning the game in the end.
Matt, you would have been better asking me what it's like to sit on the bench and come on, because I've done it far more than Connor, mate. That was my career. I made a career with getting spelt in my arse, sitting on the bench and changing games.
To be honest, mate, like, obviously, I say like, I'm a fullback, and in my career, luckily, every time I've been on the bench, I've come on a lot of times, apart from this year at Burnley, but I used to be on the bench a couple of times at Swansea back in the day, and like I'd always come on, so it's kind of always be ready and like just try and do your absolute best when you come on. No one can begrudge you if you try your best, you know, running up and down and doing your absolute best to try and help the team. And that's what I'll do whether I start or come on.
Well, you've just mentioned Swansea there, Connor, right? I'm going to take you back because there's a couple of lads that obviously are in Leeds United now, and you've mentioned one of them, DJ, and the other one is Joe Roden. Yeah. So this is, I mean, I don't know how much time you've spent with them, but I've spent quite a significant amount of time with DJ on podcasts and at the, you know, doing different things at the club with him and Joe Roden.
Yeah.
DJ's got a bit about him, right? But I've got to say, Joe Roden, there's not much between these two ears, like, is there? Is I?
No, there's not, mate. Nah. Yeah.
There's not a lot in there. His football knowledge is amazing, but his IQ must be shocking, lad.
Oh. Yeah, if he wasn't a footballer, I dread to think where he would be, to be honest. So it's a good job that he is a footballer. And you say, I've known Joe since, must have been about 13, 14 years of age. Obviously, he's a bit younger than me, so he wasn't in my team at Swansea. But when we kind of got to the 21s and that, played with him a lot. And same with DJ, he came, I think, when he was like 15 or 16 to Swansea and played with him. We were part of, you know, a very, very good under 21s team at Swansea. I think we had a lot of players who still play now, you know, me, Joe, DJ, Ollie McBurney, who's at Sheffield and players like that. So yeah, I've known them for a long time and they're just down to earth guys. They just want to do well, you know, at the end of the day. And Joe, especially, I know his family as well, and they're a rugby family similar to mine, and just a case of, you know, do your absolute best, and good job for him this season, which is really nice, because last year and the years after he went to Tottenham, obviously he had kind of a stop-start career. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't showing what he was able to do, and to come here, I knew that as soon as he played a few games and, you know, got into a rhythm, and, you know, the fans and everyone involved with the club kind of got to know him and knew what he's all about, that he will be, you know, a big part of this squad and a big part of any team that he's involved in, really.
Me and Dom Matty, our next player, were talking about him. I was interviewing Dom and having a chat with him. I said, who does he remind you of from our playing days? And it was a special player called Jonathan Woodgate, who went on to play for Real Madrid and at Leeds United. Woody was...
I know Woody. I was at Middlesbrough, obviously, on loan when I...
Oh, well, you know Woody.
Know
him. So yeah, basically, what I'm saying is they're both very talented footballers that could go a long way, and Joe's been amazing. But like, you've met Woody as well, there's not a lot between the ears. So there you go. They've got two things in common.
Nah, I know. DJ's not much better either, to be honest, but yeah.
He's getting better with age.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I'd say, I mean, Joe took some absolute pelters at that one that we did, Bridgie.
The JD event.
Yeah, mate, Ethan and DJ just absolutely hammered him for an hour.
Destroyed him, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he didn't even put up a fight.
Yeah, to be fair, he's a big, strong centre-back and he does what he does, but he does get pelters from everyone, to be honest. Even when we go away with Wales, Ben Davis, Danny Ward, they're all on him and we're all on him, to be honest. So.
Well, if there's anything you want to show the Welsh squad next time he was all away, you've got to try and get the clip of him with Ampadu and Joe Roden's doing an impersonation of a donkey. It is absolutely hilarious. Nah, he tries to mimic animal noises, mate. It's embarrassing. Brilliant.
Speaking of animal noises and crazy players, I want to chat to you about a couple of other Leeds players. What about Georgie? I mean, I saw this clip of him just screaming in your face the other day. He's nuts, isn't he?
Yes. Sometimes at clubs you come across, you know, personalities and people like that, just crazy, kind of obviously a bit of ADHD. I think myself, right. I've got a little bit of that as well, to be honest. So I think that's where, you know, the outbursts and stuff like that come. When I get a bit more comfortable, maybe you'll see a few more ones like that. But yeah, since I've come, Georgie obviously is just full of laughs. He's someone that lifts the mood and just wants to just be happy. And I think when you're doing well, and like Georgie is personally doing well, scoring goals, you know, playing well and things like that, then it's amplified again. And yeah, it's brilliant to have around. And I think a lot of the time it's about having a good group of players. That's what gets you that little bit more success. And if you have a really talented group, which obviously these boys are, plenty of talent in the squad, you also need that, you know, bit of personality, bit of, you know, just something different amongst the group, and the group gets you through nights like the other night. You know what I mean? Yeah. There could be other groups that they were not playing well, go 3 goals down, crumble. That's it. You know, players check out. They're like, ah, oh, that's not for me. But if you've got a group with personality and stuff, then it gets you through nights similar to that.
It's an interesting dynamic, really. Because obviously we just talked about the Welsh lads. Ethan had moved around a few clubs. Joe apparently surplus to requirements at Spurs. Obviously DJ not having a great
DJ
time
as well
at Man United. Obviously you've come in from Burnley. Georgie didn't have a great season last year. Everyone was sort of low on confidence, and they've come into this club, and it's hard to believe. It's hard. You look at the way that everyone's performing, and you can't believe that these are the players that other clubs don't want, or these are the players that have had bad last seasons. Is it Farker? Is it the coaching staff? Or is it like a perfect storm of just right place, right time?
I don't really know. I'm not...
Can you even quantify it? I don't even know.
Connor hasn't even been there to see Farker that long, you know what I mean? So that's a tough one for him.
Maybe just a bit of luck, just where things come together. You get, you know, a little bit of luck in certain games, and then you get the momentum, you get the feel-good factor, and things just kind of take off, and you ride the wave, and hopefully, you know, the end of the wave is getting promoted.
Are you a confidence player? Do you get better and better as you're playing well?
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of players are. I definitely am. I think once I get into a kind of a rhythm of playing, and, you know, just know like I'm going to play, I need to play well. Next game, play well is when I'm at my best. Obviously, last season, I played most games, so I was playing well and I was just trying to perform better and better every week. It is really hard when you're in and out of the team, you're coming off the bench, you start a game, then you're out for, you know, 3 or 4. Of course, it's hard, but I think every player wants to play games and wants to kind of get the rhythm. And that's why I've had to kind of say to myself, come in here, I can't rely on that. The last season I relied on like consistently getting out there, playing and trying to better myself. Whereas this year, I might have to be... not play for a few games, come off the bench, start a game, get back on the bench, you know, not play, whatever. I just have to kind of tell myself whatever's happened has happened, and next time that I'm required to play for Leeds United or for Wales, when I do, I have to just give my absolute best and try my absolute best to be helpful, really.
So does your approach shift then? Have you actually had to physically go, okay, I'm not going to play every game, so I have to change the way I'm training, the way I'm thinking about it, to give my best in this circumstance?
I think so. It's the first time really in my career where, in the Championship anyway, where I've not been the starting right back, really.
Right.
And I've had to kind of take a step back and realise why I do what I do for my kids, for my wife, for my family. And that's all I can do is when I get the chance, like the other night, when I get put on the pitch, whether that be from the start or halfway through, have to, you know, make them proud. And as long as I come off that pitch, whether I play 2 minutes or 90 minutes, if I can, you know, go back to my family, go home and say, you know, Daddy, I tried my very, very best, then that's all I can do.
It's a tough one, you know, Conor. And obviously Matt was saying, you know, when you're in the AFL team, the PFL team, the Championship, and the season's gone by, and then you're looking forward to the Premier League, and like you say, chances become surplus to requirements when you needed that. For me, that was the toughest thing when I got promoted with Sunderland under Mick McCarthy. You're relishing getting back to the Premier League, and I found that was a bit part play, and I mentally found it very tough to deal with and handle the situation. So I went on loan to Bristol City in the Championship to get me love of the game again, or get playing on a more regular basis. So obviously that's what you've had to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, like I say, it's been difficult, but yeah, I've had a lot of difficult times in my career. And like I said, at the age I am now, the experience I've got, I've played in, you know, played in the Premier League, lots of games in the Champ, played for my country or ever many times. And now I just kind of have to realise that it's not going to be like it was 3-4 years ago when I was playing every single game and I didn't really need to train or recover. It's going to be different, but I think that's all I can do is, like I say, try my absolute best. And it's been a disappointing season off the back of a really good season. It's been strange, to be honest, but I'm hoping end of this season I can, you know, turn around and say another promotion, hopefully back to back, and then go from there, see whatever happens.
I've got to say, I mean, I think it's an absolutely inspired signing, because not just in terms of playing ability, of which you've obviously got in spades, but the fact that you've been there and done that. I mean, that for this young team, I mean, you coming on, you know, coming on for them last 10, 15 minutes and just giving them young lads a bit of impetus to go, we can actually not just get a draw, we can win this. Obviously, it's a bit different this year because obviously Burnley, you guys were just dominant last season. But we've got four teams now that are right in the thick of it. We're going to need someone like yourself to help these lads.
Yeah, I want to help. Like you say, the key word is I've come here to help, to get promoted, you know, is for nothing else. Whether that, like I say, if that's helping on the training pitch, helping in the dressing room before a game, after a game, win, lose or draw, you know, helping on the pitch when I get on there. That obviously, that's the key word. I keep saying it. And at the end of the season,
podcast get more listeners as well.
Oh, I don't know about that. if we do get promoted and we all achieve what we've set out to achieve, and I've come here to achieve, then no one really remembers, you know, oh, Conor Roberts, he only played 6 games, he only played 7 games, whatever. They remember that Conor Roberts, oh, we signed him in January. He obviously helped, and they got promoted. So that is the aim. And
scored after 5 minutes.
I text my brother at full time. I went, if he never plays again, if that's all we get from him, it was worth it.
Job done.
I know. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
To be fair, I was so happy that I scored as well, because ever since I started playing for Swansea 6 years ago now, I scored, obviously, first goal for Swansea, first goal in professional football in the Championship. And then I scored the next season. I was like, you know what? Like, let's see if I can go my whole career scoring every season. And obviously, I went to Burnley in the Premier League. I thought it could be tough here. I managed to score. And then obviously this season, I was thinking, this, obviously before January, I was thinking, this probably ain't going to happen. Like, I'm barely playing, let alone scoring a goal. So, like, to obviously come here, and then I was like, I might not play as much as I am used to, kind of thing. So still might not score, and then obviously scored in a big night against a good team at Elland Road. So that keeps going.
Conor, there's one little blip on your radar. You've got the 11 goals for Swansea. You've got the goal for Leeds United. You've got 5 for Burnley. You got none for Yeovil.
I know, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. That's the thing.
I must have hit
the post about 100 times that season. Yeah, but the worst thing is I played 56 games as well.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't
and
want
I still
say
didn't
that.
Score. Tremendous. I know, yeah. It was really bad, to be fair. I used to every game, like, obviously, I won, like, I think it was 6 or 7 Player of the Year awards at the end of that. Right. So obviously I done all right. And yeah, I was like, I just want to score. Like, it'd be nice to score a professional goal, but I just couldn't. I kept hitting the crossbar, keeping making saves. I was like, it's never going to happen. And then obviously since I went back to Swansea, I've started to find the net a few times.
If you like hitting the woodwork, you'll do great here, mate.
just going back to your question you asked Conor earlier about the team, the dynamics, the culture, was it Farke, the players? Mm. I'm looking at the players that obviously Connor's played with, DJ, Roden, Ampadu. You've got the Welsh connection, you've got the Swansea connection. If you go back to the 99-2000 year, when O'Leary signed myself, Danny Mills, Michael Dubry, Darren Huckabee, we were all in that under 21. Paul Robinson was there, Alan Smith was there, but they were there. We were all not under 21s. Connection when he brought us to Leeds United. Yeah. So you had the mainstay of Leeds United players, but he brought in a lot of the lads that knew each other from other avenues. All right, we weren't best mates, but we knew each other from playing. I think that, you know, what we're doing here with Connor being another one, it does help the culture inside that club. So I've got to credit Daniel Farker with that.
I think for me, obviously I've only been here a few weeks, but we've kind of got like groups within the group, but then that helps bring everything together. You know, I mean, it's not like
not clicky.
One person. Yeah. It's like, there's obviously, we've got the Welsh lads, we've got a few Dutch lads, a few French lads, but then we kind of all, like, there's leaders kind of amongst, not leaders in such a screaming and shouting, but obviously say Georgie, he's, you know, French, he's only recently come to this country kind of thing, but he kind of brings his group into the Welsh group, and then the Welsh group with, you know, the English lads or whatever, and things like that. So it's just creating a group. And like I said earlier, sometimes in moments, in seasons, especially seasons where you're trying to get promoted, the group gets you through things. And I'm telling you now, it ain't all going to be sunshine and roses between now and that last game. There's going to be moments where me, other people, you know, Coops might have to stand up and say, look, lads, it is what it is. We've drawn a game, we've lost a game, we've not played well, whatever. We move on, and the end result is getting promoted. So, you know, what's happened now? We have to get on with it and achieve our goals that we've all come here for.
Do footballers consider sort of all this? I guess what I want to ask is, fans, you know, are always looking at stats. We're always looking at all of these things that frustrate us and get us going. You know, you've got Southampton on a 25-game winning streak and they're now in fourth place. We've got Leicester have broken all the records for the championship ever and now they're being pulled right back into the title race. Like, any other season, any of these four would be far and away. Do you, like, fans get annoyed by that? I'm like, we've just won 9 in a row, which is even the record, and we're still not winning the league. Do you guys consider that, or are you just focused on the next game? Or are you guys like, what have we got to do? Why can't we shake off Ipswich?
That's all I can say is for myself. Like, I've obviously not been here long enough, but also for me, I live for the moments. And I said in my interview with the club when I signed you, I want to create moments in these 6 months, or 5 months, whatever it was. And by that, I mean, obviously, the main goal is to get promoted, but there was a moment the other night when I come on and I score, and you experience that atmosphere, and it's a night that a lot of people remember, especially me. So for me, that's a moment. And I'll put this to you now. As a fan, I guarantee you enjoy the Championship more than the Premier League.
Oh, no.
Answered that one a few weeks ago.
I already know that.
In fact, you said that a few years ago, Matt.
For me, it's like I'm just enjoying and moving on to the next, you know, the next moment, the next game that we can win, the next goal maybe that I can score, or the next brilliant result, performance, occasion that we can create. And I don't think anyone looks and goes, oh... Like, the other day, I think Southampton, not this last game, the 2 games ago, they lost. And I didn't know until I came in here Monday that they'd lost. And really? Ethan came in and he said, like, oh, Southampton lost. I was like, oh, did they? Like, for me, I can't speak for other players. They might, like, be checking as the scores come in, like, oh, my God, what's happening? But for me, I just play. And that's all you can do is play your best, try and win the football match. And where you finish up come the end of the season is down to everything else that goes with it.
That's interesting.
Connor's like me. I used to shy away from results as well. I didn't used to take them on board and think, what have we got to do? I was probably playing Champ Manager too much to even care. I just used to love going out there.
Obviously, I'm still a massive Swansea fan, so I check. That's the only score I really check is the Swansea score. But
well, we beat them this season already, so that's
really
all good.
That no,
Connor, I've got one for you. Do you know? Obviously, you know Matt Lewis used to be Neville Longbottom in Harry Potter. Yeah, I love embarrassing him with this.
Yeah, thanks, man.
40 years ago, was it?
So Matt,
yeah, feels like it, mate.
So Matt, I'm going to batter you and put you on the spot here. You obviously in football, right? Our credentials, our stats get put out there. You know, we know exactly how many passes have gone astray, how many bad decisions we've made, how many shots on target. Is there anything in your industry, mate, where people are able to see how many times you f***ed your lines up or how many times you made a mistake and you had to go into like the next scene? Or is that all just kept kosher?
No, we're all totally protected
so
on that.
So nobody can analyse your performances apart from what we see on
unless
TV.
You're on stage, which is why it's, being on stage is so terrifying. That's the closest I'll get to having to walk out of Elland Road, you know, is to go out on a stage. And you know, what you've done in training, you've just got to use that. Like I guess it's the same kind of premise that
you're exposed to everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You forget about the crowd. You forget about everything. Just think about what you did in training and go out there and just do it. I guess that's as close as I can get. No, I fuck up a lot, but you'll never know about it.
If someone asks you, Matt, to walk out there, Elland Road, and try and play football, do you reckon you could, or do you reckon you'd be your kicks?
Definitely. I played for Leeds in a charity match against Liverpool at Elland Road. I played at right back actually. I was marking this bloke. I had a 1-2 with Lee Sharp on the right wing. And he was like 1-2, 1-2. I passed it to him and then he just f***ed off with it. That's how bad I am at football.
He sucked you in and giving him the ball.
Yeah. And he was surprise.
Nah, brilliant.
To be fair, I've always said that when I play football, my motto is get the ball to a player who's better than you. So I played for Wales with Gareth Bale 40 times, wherever it was. And from the first game that I played, it was a case of like, get this ball, don't give it to opposition, obviously, and just give it to Gareth Bale because he's Gareth Bale. So every team I've played for, last season I played for Burnley, obviously we had to play Manuel Benson, right wing, scored a few goals, what a player. And again, it was a case of if he's on the pitch and I'm on the pitch and I get the ball, where's Benny? Give the ball to Benny because Benny's the one who's going to cut inside and put in the top in. I'm not.
Know your roles. Know your roles. Know your responsibilities.
My entire MO throughout my life of football is exactly that, and I'm so thrilled a professional does it as well. That's brilliant.
Moving on to family. I've got to say, we're going to go on down this. Did you just become a father in December? The little one, or is that your second time?
It's my son. So
congrats,
thank you very much. My daughter is 2 in March, and obviously my son now is 10 weeks, 11 weeks, something like that. So it's carnage at home. But I think ever since I've had kids, my whole outlook on life's completely changed. To be honest, I think before kids, I could play bad. This is when I was at Swansea. I could play bad. I could have a bad period in a season and I'd be beating myself up. I'd go home. I'd be no good to anyone. I wouldn't speak to anyone. Just sit in my room, just so down. And
talking about the moments.
Yeah. And now completely changed. Like, obviously, I've played many a time since I've had my kids. But when I go home, I walk in that door, she's there, she still loves me, I think, and that's all I can wish for. And like I say, my aim in life is to make my family proud, and if that's playing for whichever club, playing for my country, whatever, then hopefully I can do that.
Well said, love that. I've got two, a boy and a girl, and they loved me until they became teenagers, and then they've just turned into horrible little grots, so make the most of it, Connor, the most of it.
I know, yeah. Not looking really forward to that, to be honest.
From being a father to having your father come and watch games, I mean, I think he come down for the Leicester game on Friday? What's that like? I mean, do you feel an extra pressure, or is it do you love having the family there? I mean, a hell of a game for your dad to show up to Elland Road, eh?
Yeah, I think he don't come to many games, to be honest. It's a long way from Swansea to Burnley and Swansea to Leeds, so he's only once.
And is he a rugby man rather than football?
Yeah. Rugby man, he don't have a clue about football. He tries to tell me like what to do or how to play, and if like I play bad or I do something, he's like, why did you do this, whatever. I just ignore him, to be honest. But like, he for some reason he messaged me saying I'm coming up. I was like, all right, whatever. I didn't actually expect him to come, and then he did. And I don't feel the pressure. I enjoy it. For me, it's a case of if I do well, if I score, if I, you know, if we win the game, if you know, it's a, like when we qualified for the World Cup, obviously my wife, my whole family was there. It was brilliant to experience that, knowing that they're there and they're proud of me. But I'd hope that, so they say, that they're still proud of me even when I play shit, I don't play at all, or we lose or something like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, he came all the way up on his own, drove back straight after the game, got home at 6 a.m. I think he said.
Did he mention the atmosphere to you after your goal? What did he say about it?
Yeah, he did, to be fair. He said it was brilliant. I think I think that's the reason why he wanted to come, just to kind of experience it. Obviously, he's got mates who are Leeds fans and things like that. Yeah. So he was just kind of, he knew it was going to be a big game. So he just wanted to come and experience it. And my father-in-law was there with my wife, and they both, like I said earlier, said it was fantastic.
What impact did your family or your father have on your career? Because my kids have grown up in Australia. So we've been there over 13 years, got back to the UK 2 years ago. It was a different culture. It was rugby league, rugby union, AFL that they were kind of angling towards through school and things. And I'm trying to get them back on track with the football. So because of his rugby background and you choosing football, how did all that go down?
Well, when I was a kid, I loved every sport, and it was a case of my dad, I was like, not to blow smoke up my ass, but I was actually good. Like, I played for Wales when I was like 11, and played for the county and the Ospreys and stuff like that, captain and all sorts. So he was a case of, he used to tell his friends, like, he used to go down the pub with him, and he used to say, like, he'll play for Wales. Obviously, he meant in rugby, like, he said he'll play for Wales. And then I got into secondary school, started playing football. I played a few games for, you know, local leagues. And he was like, if you want to play football, play football. And so there was a time where I was playing everything. I was doing athletics, playing football, playing rugby, all at the same time. And then puberty hits and everyone gets massive. And boys who are, you know, 12 years old start smashing the gym and are absolutely massive. And
then rugby was not an option.
Yeah,
then.
not really for me. That I prefer running rugby, not getting absolutely nailed 24/7. So went to play football, managed to get in Swansea Academy, obviously, and then the rest is history, as they say. But yeah, I always say that, like, I'd like to think that I was good enough, if I didn't choose football, to play for Wales in rugby as well. But we leave that down to the people who know what they're on about.
Hey, but it's good that you bring in that mentality of not shying away from a fight, though. Eh? That's going to come in handy at some point.
Now we know where it's from. Now we know the background.
I think that is pretty much it, because when I played rugby and I was little, my dad, obviously, he played rugby. He's not the biggest of men, but he used to always say to me, like, if I was playing and, like, we turn up and, like, it'd look at the other team and there was, like, a boy who's like 6'6", massive, and we're all, you know, 4'5". He'd be like, how many times are you going to tackle him today? And I'd be like, I don't know. And he'd be like, well, make it 10. So, like, kind of like incentive to be like, oh, dad wants me to tackle him 10 times, so I'm going to tackle him 10 times, kind of thing. So I've always, like, kind of fronted up to the challenge. Most of the time, luckily, I've kind of overcome them. You know, playing for Swansea, making my debuts for various teams, playing for my country, I've kind of overcome them and I've done all right. There's only been the odd time where I've kind of let myself down and I've been a little bit disappointed. But most of the time I just fly into the challenge head on.
By extension, does that mean that maybe you look out for players that maybe are even smaller than you? Like, say, take Archie, for example, 17 years old. Is he someone that you'd be like, anyone messes with him, they're messing with me?
I think so. I think that's the rugby as well. I've got mates who still play rugby, and it's a case of they always, like, it's one in, all in, basically. Obviously, it's difficult on a football pitch. Like, the other night, DJ had that little thing with Pereira and I was itching to, you know, fly in there and, like, just get involved, you know, one in, all in. But then you have to, like, rein yourself in and realise, no, because if you fly in there, you get sent off, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's obviously, everyone hates you then. So it's a case of, I think that is from the rugby. In rugby, I go and watch my mates play local league and, you know, someone give someone a little dig, and before you know it, there's 15 players scrapping each other. So I think...
Off the back of that comment, how many red cards you had in your career? Have you had any?
You know what? I've had two. I've had two, which is very, very good. If you ask, obviously, Pat Banford, speaking to him, he knows me from Middlesbrough and that. And I came on against Rotherham, I made a tackle, and like he said, like that was you all over, like just trying to smash people already. Like you've only been here 2 minutes, and I just laughed it off. But yeah, two red cards and none for anything mental, to be honest. I got sent off this season for Burnley. One was for like dropping the ball back on the pitch when it was their throw in because I thought it was ours. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll chuck this year so they can't take the throw in. Give me a yellow card. And then tripped him up like it wasn't malicious or anything. And I got sent off for an elbow on Thomas Souchek for Wales, but I didn't touch him. Swear to God, watch it.
The intent was there.
It wasn't, mate. He's the softest big guy ever.
I don't know if I can trust you because when you got booked the other night, you were screaming. I got the ball, and I've watched it.
yeah, but you have to say that.
We could have done with that energy on Wednesday night. It's a real shame you can't play. Will you still travel with the team on Wednesday?
No, I can play. I can play Wednesday.
Oh, you can play.
No, I couldn't play against Plymouth because I wasn't
in the first
signed before the first leg.
Okay,
so I can play. I was on the bench for Burnley against Tottenham in the FA Cup. Obviously, we lost 1-0. But I didn't go on, so I can play Wednesday if obviously I'm chosen. Yeah,
I've been misinformed. Fantastic news! That's great. So you're looking for
news, isn't it?
This is going to go out after the Chelsea game. So obviously we've already won and we're through to the quarterfinals. I'm going to ask you anyway. How what are you feeling about Wednesday?
Excited. Obviously, everyone wants to play football games in brilliant stadiums against good teams. And like I say, if we manage to win, when hopefully we win, it'll be another moment, another incredible experience for us as a club, as a team, and for me personally, if obviously we achieve it. So that is something that, like I keep saying, it's another moment that you can kind of put in your back pocket and remember. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be tough, but we'll have a go.
My wife laughed at me yesterday, Conor, because I'm watching the cup final, league cup final. It was 0-0 at full time and I've started celebrating. My wife went, what the hell are you celebrating? I said, Chelsea are going extra time. We're playing them on Wednesday. It's going to be brilliant. She didn't quite get what I was on about.
I know that you've got to get to training now, mate. So we do have to let you go, unfortunately. I could have kept you here all day. I do just want to ask you one quick question about... just about cup runs and when you're focused on leagues and stuff. And obviously Burnley, you would have had it last year. And then potentially the same with trying to avoid relegation. Obviously, we're on a winning streak now. And everyone wants to have a nice cup run and beating Chelsea will be great. But we also need to focus on the league. Do you guys think, oh, let's just get out of the cup and focus on the league? Do you enjoy the cup run? Or are you just like playing football? It don't really matter.
Yeah, we got momentum. There's a feel-good factor around the team, the club, everything. So we need to keep that going. For me, obviously, we had it last year. We were doing really well in the league, obviously, and we were doing well in the FA Cup. We got to the quarters, was it, or something like that. Obviously, drew Man City, ended up losing, it was still, like the feel good factor. You can't throw that away.
Right.
Moments like this in football, in sport, in life, really, when you're kind of on the train that's fucking going forward and doing well, don't get off it for anything. Right. You have to keep it going, whether that be Carabao Cup, FA Cup, league game, try and win it, try and put out a good performance. And like you say, if somehow we manage to get to Wembley in the FA Cup, how amazing would that be to have a season where we hopefully get promoted and do really, really well and get to Wembley? Would be incredible. So, like I say, it's moments that you live for and
moments
that you can't take for granted. You know, this career for all of us, not just me, for all of us will be gone before you know it. So,
tell us about it.
Ride the wave and try and enjoy every moment you can.
Maximize it. Well said. Well said.
Yeah, mate. This moment for me has been fantastic, Conor. I've really, really enjoyed this.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you again for Friday. And all the best for this week and for the rest of the season. Really, thank you so much, mate.
From myself personally, mate, pleasure to speak to you. Very humble lad. Keep up the cracking career going as long as you can. Thank you for what you did on Friday for Leeds United, mate. Yeah. And good luck with the family and everything that comes in life, lad. Top man.
Top man. Thank you. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Conor Roberts. I love that
quality on it.
I absolutely love that.
What do you think my favourite part was?
Was when he hammered me for looking about 50 years old.
When he said how long you've been out of acting, yeah. 40 years. Proper came for you straight away. I loved it. I loved it. There was so much more I could have taken from that interview, wicked. In that podcast. But yeah, very good. Well spoken on. I love his mentality. Do you know what it is? It's like, I mentioned David Batty in the comments when we're chatting to him as well. He had that same mentality. Yeah. Everything he said, want to tackle everything. Don't care how I get the ball. It's got to be the ball and the, you know, they're not getting past us. And what Batch used to do was find the player that had more ability than him. He just knew his role and responsibilities. And kind of same mentality, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Batch was a Leeds boy, but we're still talking about him today for a reason. And it's because of the way he played, wasn't it? So hopefully Connor can emulate.
You know, the tough thing he's got as well, Connor was talking about them. Matt, the good thing that he's talking about there as well, he knows he's coming to a team that are flying high, so you're not guaranteed football, and he's waiting for his opportunity because Archie Gray's found himself leaving that midfield to being the right back and doing such a good job there as well, and then he was thrown into the left back position. So he's still not guaranteed football, but he said, "I'm here to help, and wherever that is, I'll cover all bases." So he's shown his maturity there. I think if we'd have asked him that question when he was 22 to 24, you might have got a completely different reply. But when he mentioned his family, absolutely loved it. Another diamond.
I never want to say to players, "Oh, that's a level of maturity." That's because you always feel like, "Oh, what you're saying is that they've now moved into that kind of period where they're being brought into clubs for experience as opposed to knowing they're gonna play." But he seemed like someone who's fully like aware of that role and content with that role. And I'm not pulling punches. Like, we're going to need that.
Yeah, of course we are, without a shadow. I mean, there's good experience that we have at the club. You mentioned Liam Cooper there before. Amadou is a young lad, but he's a captain, a leader international. He's come in and shown that. We've lost a lot of leaders at this club or influential players. Luke Ayling's gone to Middlesbrough. Forshaw left as well. So there's some true lads that have been there, know how to do it in the past. So to get somebody else in with experience that's still got that incentive to go for is absolutely huge. Because the only thing that upset me is when I sent my CV into Daniel Farke to see if he needed like a 45-year-old to hang around the dressing room and myself. And I didn't get a reply. I was a bit upset. So obviously my experience is not needed. But
well, they still need to be able to come on for at least 5 minutes, Bridget.
Is that what it is? Right. Okay. I didn't realise that. Sorry, lad.
Yeah. Don't know if your knees would handle it.
The
thing was interesting as well when he said, I just come on, I'm a defender. And it's like, but in fullback positions, it's not a case of these days of just coming on and defending as a fullback anymore, is it? I mean, when I look at that bench, I go, Connor Roberts can come on and potentially change a game.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's Leicester game. I talked about it. I don't know if you heard it, Matt. I talked about it after the game on LUTV. Daniel Farke made the subs at the right time. It doesn't always have to plan out like that, but I don't know how many people noticed what they actually did. They were still playing as full backs, but when we got the ball, Gruev went and sat in between the two centre halves. So we kind of became a back three with wing backs as such. Right. Now, hence why when Robert scored the goal, Archie Gray was in the penalty area. Yes, we're chasing the game, but it gave emphasis to go forward. And then when Archie scored the goal, who was on the far stick at the other side of the field? Roberts. So it allowed us to put more numbers forward. And what it was changing the system within the system without changing the formation. And it worked a treat because we were getting dominated. There's no doubt about it. They missed lots of opportunities.
Yeah.
So Connor Roberts coming into that position in the time of the game that he did, along with Dan James, you understand, was absolutely perfect. The dynamics were brilliant. It's not always going to be like that because he was probably looking at the game thinking Mavididi had done so well in the game. You know, he'd cut inside a lot of the times. What's my game going to be against him if I come on? How am I going to show? Am I going to show him the line? Am I going to show him inside? What am I going to do when I get the ball? But he came on with a different dynamic and Daniel Farke gave him license to go forward, mate. And it absolutely worked. The boys embraced it.
Well, Here's to many more of that. I mean, I don't know if we aren't going to face much stiffer opposition than that, are we? Let's be honest. I mean, they are a very good side, and that was toughest game I think we've had, isn't it?
I think as a fan, you watch all the games. I've seen some poor teams at Elland Road this season.
Yeah.
And I dug out Sheffield Wednesday as being one of the worst that I'd seen early on in the season, and it's proven that they lost their manager and everything. Leicester are the best team I've seen this season, without a shadow of a doubt. They came, they had players that can win games single-handedly, they had a strong bench, and you could see their system and style, and they're probably going away saying exactly the same thing. We've played Leeds twice this season. Yeah, we've been beaten, but I'll tell you what, they're the best team that have given us a run from, because Middlesbrough have beat them twice this season as well. They won't be saying Middlesbrough are the best team in the league or one of the top contenders. They'll be saying they slipped up, and they'll be talking about us saying, wow, these are promotion pushing team, and we're going to go up in first or second without a shadow of a doubt, mate. This run of form, I'm telling you, we are going up.
Well, speaking of poor teams that came to Elland Road, we're playing Huddersfield away on the weekend. New manager there. They're already talking about Leeds, as they want to do, of course. What do we think for this weekend? It could, it's potential. I mean, they were woeful at Elland Road, but obviously a lot has changed since then in terms of their management and whatnot. It's a potential banana skin. What do you think?
A lot of change. Yeah. Again, I like it. Yeah, I've still got this positive mental attitude going on inside you, because you haven't gone so negative there. You've said it could be a banana skin. You haven't said one of our bogey teams, one of these rivals. We will get the job done.
But they'll be up for it. It's a Yorkshire derby. It's away from home.
They will be, and they've got to redeem themselves. And I'm not going to say too much about it, because I'm not worried about them. We will win. It won't be as dominant, but we will win that game for sure. Nothing to worry about there. Won't derail us.
Glad to hear it. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. We're going to win on Saturday. So everyone who's travelling to Huddersfield, best of luck. Hope you enjoy the 3 points. And who knows, we might even just make up some more ground on the leaders. Let's see. Tally up.